please welcome my co-preacher here this morning, Jane. Okay, let me start by introducing myself. My name is Alvin. I am 53 years old. I'm also the pastor of this church. I'm actually a bivocational pastor. I work in a technology company. Okay, and it's great to work for a company that pays my bill so that I can work for the church for free. Amen. So I will ask Jane to introduce herself.
My name is Jane. I'm actually 17 years old. I do homeschooling A level.
Okay. So this morning we're going to share with you a sermon, okay, entitled Moving from Success to Significance. Okay, can we have the slide on? Okay. This title, okay, is taken from John chapter 21. It's about Apostle Peter's journey from success to become significant, journey into significance. My apologies. And I want to start by introducing to you the format of our preaching today. Right? This is the first time I'm doing this also lah. Okay? So the format is this. Okay? It's like we are flying a plane. Okay? So I am the pilot and she is the co-pilot. Okay? Thank you. And so every now and then I will ask my co-pilot to come and fly the plane. Okay? And I will go. Okay? So let's start. Okay? Let's be participative. Okay? Let's read the text together. Right? John chapter 21. John 21 is actually a very, very long passage. 25 verses. So we're not going to read all the 25 verses. So we chose, Jen and I chose a short portion of the scripture, okay, to read, for us to read together. Shall we all rise as we read the scripture together? Okay, 3, 2, 1. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Son, do you love me more than this?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" he said. "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would die. Then he said, "Follow me." Okay, so now please be seated. We'll invite Jane to share with you the backstory, okay, of this, so that you have a background of how we arrive at chapter 21. So Jane, over to you.
Peter, before this story, is one of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus after he miraculously made the fish come to the nets of the fishermen. Initially he followed Jesus possibly only for the material things that he could probably gain after he thought that Jesus would really become an earthly king, like some status or maybe even wealth. But after he died, he probably realized that Jesus is not going to become that kind of king. So he went back to his fishing and probably not sure if he really followed Jesus after that, followed his teachings and all that. So after Jesus rose, he visited Peter again and asked him about the fishing situation, and he probably already knew that they have no fish. So he told them to cast their net to another side, and he made fish again miraculously go to the nets. And even after he probably already knew that Peter had probably stopped really following him, he still cooked a breakfast for him and still continue to love him.
Amen. Thank you. Give her a hand. At the heart of this passage, okay, John 21, is this question that Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me more than this? And I want you to see the word this. This question is actually a very deep and masterly crafted question. That only the Lord would know how to ask a question like this. And this question cuts deep like a double-edged sword into Peter's heart. This question helps Peter to clarify his values and his intentions in life. To put it simply, Jesus is asking Peter this: do you love me or do you love things? In other words, Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, what do you live for? Many years ago, I read a book called Half Time by Bob Buford. How many of you have read this book before? Okay, quite a number of you have read this book. This book is about midlife crisis. According to Buford, life is made up of seasons. We are born, we grow up, we get education, we learn a trade, then we started working. And some of us may even become very good at our work, and we make some money, and some of us even become rich. Then we might wonder, is this all life all about? Is it just about work, 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 make money, money, money? Is this what life is all about? So this is what this book is all about. And Bob calls this period of searching, he calls it halftime, like a football game. Right? How many of you watch football here? Halftime is a time of reflection. It's pause to think about life. It's a time of re-evaluation. It's a time of reorientation. And a time of realignment to what life's real purpose is. As reflected in this diagram, the first half of Bob Buford's career was success. He was chasing after success, success, success. He was on full throttle on his career. Just develop a name for himself and make money, more money. And at halftime, he asked this pivotal question: is there more to life than this? And this pivotal question changed his direction in life from pursuing success to pursuing significance. From being just competent in his career, he is now interested on how to be competent in life, how to live well, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically as well. In the first half of his life, he valued money. But in the second half of his life, he values meaning. If you read about Bob Buford's story, he went on to become a social entrepreneur. Instead of living a life that is just bless me, 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 me. He turned into a life of making an impact on others. Then he thought, how can I impact more people? Business can only impact this many. He wrote a book. And he wrote this book. And he wrote a few books after that. And then later on in his life, he wanted to help more people. He started an institute because he knew that so many people in this world today are lost and asking the same question, is there more to life than just work? So he started Halftime Institute to help people who are searching, who have questions about life, to find meaning. In today's sermon, John 21, okay? This passage is about Peter's halftime. This is how I would coin this sermon. And at halftime, Peter was lost like many people. And he was confronted with this deep and penetrating question by Jesus. Do you love me more than this? Jesus did not ask him only once, not twice, but three times. Jesus clarifies for Peter what he really wanted in life. Is it just success? Is it just bread and fish? Or is there something more? He was clarifying for Peter what he really loves. Does he love God? Or does he love things? As described in this diagram, in Peter's first half, he loved things and used God. And in Peter's second half, his life changed 180 degrees. That he became a person who loved God and used things. There are 5 points in this sermon today. And we want to learn together how Peter transitioned from halftime to lead a life of significance. So these are the 5 points that we will go through together. Right? So first stop, Peter was visited by Jesus. My brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. What do you do to a friend who betrayed and abandoned you? What do you do to a friend who betrayed you and abandoned you? Let me ask you another question. Do you visit them? Why don't you try that? Huh? You try to visit your friend who betrayed and abandoned you. You know the story after Jesus died, like what Jane said, Peter went back to his old trade of fishing. And Peter did not just go by himself, he invited his friends to go and do fishing together with him. And then one morning after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus went to the beach and he visited Peter and friends. He called out to them from about 100 meters away and he said, friends, have you any fish? Perhaps they may be fishing for the whole night. And then they answered, no. They said, no fish. And Jesus said to them, try casting the net on the other side. And as they began to do that, there's nothing to lose, just try. They caught a large number of fish, more than what the nets could take. And one of the disciples recognized that it was the Lord. And he told Peter, it was the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard that, Peter jumped into the water and went towards Jesus. And the rest of the disciples just follow in the boat full of fish to the shore. And when they have reached the shore, Jesus said, bring some fish to me. And what did Jesus do? He made breakfast for them. He served them. Can you imagine what would run through the disciples' minds at this moment? There was no blaming, no scolding, no accusing. Lua, lua. No such thing. But Jesus calmly said, come and have breakfast. And he gave them fish. He didn't give them rocks or rotan. He gave them fish. And everyone was quiet, perhaps stunned. They expected to be scolded. They deserved to be scolded. They expected to be rebuked, and yet they get fish. Jesus didn't give them what they deserve. And that passage tells us that none of them dare to ask or say anything. Just quiet. Sleep in heavenly peace. And after that, Jesus gave them bread. Look, fish don't go well alone. It goes very well with bread. Just like we all want to eat kwa with rice. Jesus gave them bread. Just like he did with the fish. And all this, my brothers and sisters, were done with calmness. There was no sign of anger, no disappointment in Jesus. And he did all these things calmly. When God is quiet, you have to be very, very careful also, because he is about to say something. And this is where God is going to say something to Peter. My brothers and sisters, have you ever get stung by bees or jellyfish? Anyone here? Oh, God, huh? Wow, get stung by bees and jellyfish. I also kena before. How does it feel like? Painful, right? But have you ever been stung by love? If you want to know how is it like or how it feels like to be stung with love, then you can ask Peter. One day when we all go to heaven, we open the scripture together and say, Peter, how did you feel? How was it like to be stung with love? How he felt at the moment. And Jesus did all these things unhurriedly. After breakfast, it says. After breakfast, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than bread and fish? Do you love me because of things? Do you love me because I can do this for you? Do you love me because of power and positions? And Jesus intentionally said this three times, but the same message. It is not that he thought Peter might have dementia. It is because he wanted to clarify, help Peter to see his values and his inner desires. And my brothers and sisters, on that day at the beach, Peter was stung with love. He was stung with agape love. It was agape love that became his turning point and changed his life forever. My brothers and sisters, have you ever had turning points in your life where you were like Peter and God visited you and sting you with love that changed your life forever? So I want to turn to Jane. She's been quiet for a long time. You want to hear from her, right? So Jane, can you share with us a turning point in your life where you experienced the love of God?
Actually, yeah, one of my turning points in life is when, very surprisingly, learning drum. A lot of people would say, I just go class lah. Cannot, literally cannot for almost one and a half years or so lah. Literally cannot, it just didn't work. Then this was in China, the worship leader with the wife who was playing the drum have to leave the country, and then the whole church have no drummer. So I thought, okay, I learn lor. The only thing I didn't expect is that God will actually use that to teach me things. I'll be very transparent. I actually, when the first few times I was asked about serving, I actually don't want. Completely don't want, because I feel like it's going to take up a lot of my time, and then I feel like I have better things to do lah. With that time, I can sleep more before the church. Don't have to go to practice mah. Can do more things mah. Do homework lah, all that. Then I thought, okay, I learn just to fill position. Then I was really when I'm learning. I don't really have the time to go to class also at that time. I learned from University of YouTube. And then God used YouTube videos to teach me how to play. And really, by God's grace, can play. Because at that time also my beats is very bad. Very bad. Any teacher you talk to will tell you the same thing. No counting skills. Then, while I'm learning over the one and a half years before I come here, God visited me and teach me how to play in His grace and love. Even though He knows that I'm probably serving just because I'm being asked to, and I kind of also have no choice. Then when I was meditating on this turning point, I actually feel a bit like Peter. I feel like Peter. My selfishness is being met by God's love, who convict me and transform me in with His love lah. So slowly I come to enjoy serving Him with what He give me. Of course, He haven't asked me the question of "Do you love me?" yet. So yeah lah, that's one of my turning points lah.
So now we move to the fourth point. So halftime, okay? You may call it a different name, right? But I believe many of us have halftime in our life where we start to ask question, is there life more than this? And may I suggest to you that half time is a transition point of our life. It is like the changing room at half time in a football game, where the coach will give a pep talk to the players. And at this point, okay, at halftime, the second half hasn't played yet. The game is not over yet. Okay, but this is a very important moment in our life if we want to go in a certain direction. So I want to give you three words, okay? Very easy. Remember to how it can steer us forward. Okay, based on this passage, the first word is distance. Okay, everybody say distance. Okay, the second word is direction. And the third word is destination. And you can see that in this story here, Jesus gave Peter at the pep talk a mission, a meaning, and purpose in life. And he said these words, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He gave him a mission. A life of significance is a life of service. Just like what Jane said, God called her into a life of significance, into a life of serving God. And a life of service is an outward life. It's not an inward. Not just, it's not self-serving, it is serving others. And I want you to notice something, okay? We don't have time to read this, but I want you to notice something spectacular in verses 15 to 17, where these two words, love and service, appear together in one sentence. Let me suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that love must always be the motivation of our service. Not only that, love is also the primary sustainer of ministry. If love is not your motivation, you cannot go very far. Because it is love that wakes us up in the morning when times are bad. And I guarantee you, my friends, in ministry, you will be hurt. You will go through troubles after troubles. It seems like it is unending. If Jesus and Apostle Paul had gone through trouble, don't expect less. But it is love. If love is our motivation, it wakes us up in the morning when times are bad. And this is the greatest advice that only Jesus could think of to his beloved disciple Peter. He said, Peter, I say this to you three times so that you would understand that love and love alone must be your motivation and the sustainer of ministry. The psalmist says, I fix my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? Where does my strength come from? My strength comes from the Lord. Love fuels us. Love gives us the distance. Without love, we are short-sighted. We can only go this far. But love gives us the distance. And lastly, love does not just give us the distance. Love gives us the direction toward a life of significance. My brothers and sisters, a life of significance is not just a life that is outward, it is also a life that is upward. The three questions that Jesus asked Peter helps him to clarify his direction, where he is going in this life. He helped Peter to see which is the right way to live. Do you know how to live? And it's not just with love. With love gives us the distance, but for love gives us the direction. And we know the story that this life at halftime changed Peter forever. And he lived totally devoted to Jesus. And he even died, as tradition say, in a cross-shaped crucifix, where he said to his tormentor, people who wanted to kill him, that I'm not worthy to die the same way my master died. Crucify me upside down. I don't know whether this is true, but this is based on tradition. You know, we often read Revelation 12, 11. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the blood of the testimony. That's very good. That's very well. That's true. But there is a third part to Revelation 12, 11. Do you know that? He said he did not love his life even unto death. Love not only gives us the distance, love gives us the direction and the destination. Thank God that we may not have to be crucified that way. But you understand the point. Finally, my brothers and sisters, let me ask you, what do you live for? And who do you live for? What is your end game in life? Where are you heading? Which direction? Do you know your destination? You know, my brothers and sisters, the pinnacle of human life is undisputedly love God. To love God. That's why Jesus and God makes it very easy for us. We only have to obey this command, which is the greatest. That is to love God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And this must be the quest of our life. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 is very often quoted in weddings, right? It's a love chapter. And the last verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, the greatest of these is love. But do you know at the midpoint, at halftime, at verse 8, what is the statement that Paul says? I believe it's not coincidentally put there. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says this, love never fails. Love never fails. To me, that's a very profound statement of life. My brothers and sisters, we all have difficulties. We meet with difficult people. Let me suggest to you, if all things fail in your relationships, try love. Try love. Jesus loved a failed Peter into significance. He visited him. He served him. He loved him until the very end. And he changed him forever. Because of love, Peter has led a life of significance. And there is something that we can learn from God about His ways, about His word. So I will turn over this time to Jane again. Jane is going to share with us her takeaway message from this passage. Okay? So Jane, over to you.
I think let's not talk about betrayal and abandonment. If we have an argument with our friend, will we even go and talk to them? Much less go and cook a breakfast for them. Will we? No, right? I probably also wouldn't. But Jesus really went and not only talked to Peter, he helped Peter and his friends to earn their money by giving them fish. He also cooked for them and still talk, can still sit at the same table and talk to them. I think that really we have to learn from Jesus to really love people even if they really, we really cannot already with them. Jesus is God. He can actually condemn and rebuke Peter and scold him for betraying him and abandoning him, but he did not. So why is it that we allow ourselves to let that be our first decision to scold and cut off contact with people that make us feel irritated, angry? If Jesus would not, so we also should not, lah.
Okay. Thank you. So that's the end of our sermon.